Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to finish up this series of messages that we preached from 1st, 2nd Peter in the past few weeks, months, whatever it took to get through some of those. We didn't per se go verse by verse, but just pull some thoughts from here and there and preached on some of these. And I was thinking just a minute ago, probably 1st and 2nd Peter, chapter 1 of 2nd Peter, Peter said, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." And I thought that would probably be a good title for these messages in 1 Peter and 2 Peter would be adding to your faith. I mean, God wants us to add to our faith. He don't want us just to get saved and get ready to go to heaven and that's it. I mean, God saved us for a specific purpose. He saved us to leave us here. He saved us for His glory, but He's left us here to keep getting the gospel to others that are lost, that might not have had the opportunity had it not been for some Bible-believing church and Bible-believing Christians that was concerned about the well-being of someone else's soul. And I believe the job's not going to be finished till Jesus comes. And I believe that He could come at any moment, and we ought to be living, we ought to be doing what we can. We ought to be adding to our faith these things that Peter had mentioned here in 2 Peter, and giving all diligence in doing that in our lives. I want to be what I can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not arrived yet, never going to. And from the moment that you get saved, it's a growing process. And you're going to continue to grow until you get out of this world. Peter said here in verse 18, and that's where we're taking our thought from this morning, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity we have to be in Your house this morning. We thank You that we have a Bible, Lord, that we can read, that we can learn what You would have us to do and how to conduct ourselves in this wicked world in which we're living in today. Lord, as we look around, we realize this world has gone crazy, Lord, seemingly, as we see the things that's coming about. But Lord, I pray that You help us as Your people, Lord, that we would be what we should be. Lord, that we would continue to grow in grace, no matter how long we've been saved, that we realize there's no place to let up or give in or to give out, Lord. And I just pray that You'd help us continue, Lord, in the things that You've left us here to accomplish while we're still on the face of this great planet that You created back thousands of years ago, Lord. And I just pray that You'd help us this morning, Father. Lord, to just draw some truths from this passage of Scripture, Lord, about growing in grace, Father. Lord, we love You and we thank You again for the privilege to be here. Be with those that's watching by the way of the webcast. Hope the service will be a blessing to them. If someone's watching that's lost, I pray, sweet Holy Spirit, this morning that You'd prick that heart. Show them their lost condition, their need of salvation, that this might be the day that they would come to trust You in the free pardon of sins. We love You and we thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. Verse 18 again, He said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." Paul said in Titus chapter 2, there in verse 11, said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And I believe God wants us to continually grow in His grace. Grace saved us, but grace still teaches us also. The job is just beginning when we come to know Jesus as our Savior this morning. And I believe as Peter and even Paul wrote in his epistles, Paul's desire always was for the believers to grow into the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us 14 books of the Bible if he wrote the book of Hebrews, and I believe he did, then he's given us books that we can draw truths from, that we as the church of God can apply our life with these scriptures. And what a blessing it is to be able to have a Bible and to be able to come to the house of God and to open the Word of God. The good Sunday school lesson that we heard downstairs, and the many that before that that we've heard, and just be able to learn more about the grace of God and what Jesus has done for you and I, that we might be able to make it in this world. I'm going to tell you, this world, 8 billion people on planet Earth, and the majority of those people have no hope this morning. They've never experienced the grace of God in their life, and they're rushing madly toward hell this morning. Hey, but us that are saved, what a blessing it is to be able to take time on a Sunday morning, a cold winter day, and come to the house of God to worship and to hear teaching from the Word of God. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to give you just a few things this morning about growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and being what we should be in this cold world that we're living in, this dark. Times are dark as we look around. There's things taking place today, and I've said it many times, that I never really expected to see as a lad and a teenage boy and a young man growing up, and when we were raising our families. We never thought that we would see the things that's taking place today. But if there's ever been a time that God's people needs to continue to grow in grace and walk with the Lord on a regular and daily basis, I believe it's the day and hour in which we live in. So we look here at this passage of Scripture about growing in grace. We see, first of all, we see the edict to grow. The edict to grow in grace. That's an order or a command. I believe that we'd all have to agree that growth is natural in an individual. A person comes physically into this world. And we've known some babies that have come into this world and been born in the last few months. My niece especially, she's got a little boy that was born about 3 months ago. And that little feller, he come into this world and he has a head of hair. I mean, he's still... Miss Elizabeth, he's got a head full of hair, and we've watched him, the pictures that she sent out, and that little fella's growing like a weed. I mean, they're feeding him the right nourishment, they're giving him the right things to grow, and we know that growth is natural in an individual. When you came into this world, you come into this world hungry. You come into this world beginning to grow from the moment you came out of the womb and got into this great old big world, and that moment started taking place. If you're healthy and you're nothing wrong with you, hey, you begin to grow, and that's a natural thing that's going to take place in an individual's life. Same way with a person that gets saved. I believe a person that truly gets born again, I believe they come into this world and they're going to have a desire to grow, number one. I believe that they're going to grow if they go to church. You can't tell me that you can go to church and you're saved and you not get something if you're hungering and you're thirsting and you're a truly born-again child of God. Hey, there's going to something happen in your life. I don't believe you can just go and sit and listen and take in and not grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder about people a lot of times. They come, and I know everybody's on a different level. Everybody's on a different level as far as their intelligence about and their comprehension. And some people grow faster than others. Some mature greater in their walk with the Lord Jesus than others do. But still, I believe that a person that is saved, that's born again, that's truly come to the realization of their lost condition, they call on Jesus and they accept the gospel of the grace of God, and Jesus, the Holy Ghost, comes in their heart, I believe that we're going to see some growth in their life. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So we see growth is natural in an individual's life. In the physical realm, the spiritual realm, whichever one, I believe a person truly born again is going to grow, and it's going to be a natural thing. I went to church. I grew up in church. And I've told my testimony. I've got made a profession when I was a lad of a boy over at Timbridge Baptist Church one morning in a August meeting there. And I went through my life. My dad, they carried me down to Flat Shoals and dunked me in the water. And I went through my adolescent years, my teenage years, and holding on to that false hope. I never grew in my Christian life. I went to church. I knew about Jesus. I heard the Bible story. And I just kept holding on. But I never had no peace in my heart. But as a 17-year-old boy at Pond Fort Baptist Church, on a Friday night in an August meeting, I got gloriously born again. I mean, I got saved by the grace of God. I went by day. They carried me back over yonder to Flat Shoals again. And they baptized me, identified with Christ through the death, burial, and resurrection. That old man died, that new man came forth to walk in newness of life. Now, I've not always been what I should be, but I'm going to tell you, hey, there's something took place that Friday night at Pond Fort Baptist Church that changed my life, that gave me peace, and I've done things that I'm ashamed of, but I'm going to tell you, hey, there's been some growth in my life. I'm not where I should be. I could be a whole lot further along. I believe if I'd applied myself a little bit harder and stronger during those early years of my salvation after I got saved. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, hey, God did something. There was a desire to be different, to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told him this, Brother Allegood, back in 93, we was at Harmony Street Baptist Church, and I've said this a lot of times. I don't believe in a second work of grace. Hey, but something happened in those series of meetings over there at Harmony Street in 93 when we had that revival. Hey, God did something for me, hey, that I never got away from. I began to want to know what I believe, why I believe it, not just because my daddy believed it, not just because Brother Willard and Brother Edgar Thomas believed it, but I wanted to know what I believed and why I believed it. Brother Sammy Allen was preaching. He kept saying, this King James Bible. Well, I never had heard nothing preached itself from a King James Bible. Every church I'd ever went to was King James only. And he kept preaching about and saying, this King James Bible, this King James Bible. And I thought, well, why do I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God? I never had studied that out. I never had took no courses on the Bible and why we hold to the truth of the King James being the infallible, inerrant, a perfect Word of God. I began to want to know. God began to work in my heart, and I began to, I took a Bible college, and I began to study, and I began to want to know why this King James Bible was the Word of God. And when I began to look and began to study, I found out why. I didn't have no problem with the Bible. I never have had no trouble with it. Everywhere we've ever been to church, hey, they preach from a King James Bible. It was just the natural, normal thing that was going to take place. Now, I remember being at Faith up there and during the camp meeting, and I heard some of the men outside, some of the members there that was talking about the different versions of the Bible. And some of them were good men. And I remember one of them, they was talking about American Standard. He said, well, I like that American Standard version. I didn't think a whole lot about it, but I did think a little bit about it at that time. But it never dawned on me that you know, these so much of this promoting of the modern versions of the Bible. We need to know why we believe the King James Bible, not just shout because somebody's preaching about us having the complete Word of God. Hey, we need to know a little bit about why we believe the King James Bible, that it is, because somebody's going to challenge us. I told some young men here a while back, and I gave one of them a book on the King James Bible, and I said, you're going to face it one of these days, and somebody's going to challenge you. You need to know a little bit of why we believe that we've got the true Word of God in our hands. And that goes along with growth, I believe. when we begin to grow, and we begin to, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. And I believe really, honestly, that's just the milk of the Word of God, knowing why we believe the Bible, that it is God's Word, that it's been handed down, it's been preserved for you and I. And I don't have no problem holding this Bible up this morning and say I hold in my hands the perfect Word of God. Not that it's just the best that there is, hey, but it's the perfect Word of God. I don't think there's no errors in it, no mistakes. I've been reading it all my life since I got saved, and I've never run up on no mistakes or problems. The discrepancies that you think is there, they're all in your mind. They're all in your mind. And the devil, there's always a logical explanation for any discrepancies that are in this Bible. I don't know where all that come from, but anyway, hey, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And growth is natural when you get saved. Growth is needed after you get saved. I mean, you just if we had a baby and that baby never did grow, hey, we would be running to the doctor. We'd be trying to find out why that baby is not growing. What's wrong with my child? And yet we see people a lot of times, hey, that have sat on the pews in the church house and they've been there for 10, 15 years, hey, but they're as shallow as a little running stream going down through the woods somewhere. Or they're as shallow as the shallow end of a lake. They don't come to church. And they wonder why we keep harping on Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I mean, why we keep having to preach on the elementary thing of the Word of God is because they're not getting it. There's got to be a desire to grow. And you've got to be saved to have that desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. The Bible says, of whom we have many things to say and are hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Hey, our churches are full of people that are dull of hearing today. Hey, some of them profess to have been saved for years and years. Hey, but they keep falling out of church and they come back then later and they have to get back and learn those elementary things again, just as these Jewish believers kept falling back into Judaism and kept coming back. And Paul was telling them that they were dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, so many times, I've noticed this a lot of times, people, they get saved, and this is good that they want to know. Hey, but this is good. They never get the milk of the Word. They never get the elementary thing, and they want to jump over there in the book of Revelations, and they get all confused about what's going to take place when they don't know how to live their life in the here, now, and now. We're more concerned. And I promise you, hey, I like to hear prophecy and I like to read prophecy. Hey, but there's so many things that I don't even understand after being in church and hearing it preached. And I hear some preachers preach some things and I wonder, how did they get that? Why didn't I ever see that? But it happens. Some people want to run to the prophecy instead of learning how to live right here. You have to preach all the basics all the time because people never progress in their life. Not only is growth natural and growth is needed, hey, but growth is nurtured. Growth is nurtured. 1 Peter verses 5 through 14. Again, he said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, such which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. So we see growth is nurtured. I mean, we have to pay attention. We have to nurture that faith. Hey, we have to continue to let God's Word get in us and God's Word keep us where He wants us to be in our life. Hey, where we know what we believe and what we need to be doing and what we need to be focused on in our life. Hey, you let that go and you don't nurture your faith to the point where God can keep you where He needs you to be in our life. We see the edict of growth. Number two, we see the elements of growth. We see the elements of growth. It's going to take a balanced diet in your life. An individual that's going to grow properly, as Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Hey, it's going to take a balanced diet in your Christian life, in your walk with God, in your study of the Word of God, if you're going to be the kind of Christian and believer that God wants us to be, the kind of Christian that will be effective in this world, this God-hating, denying world that we're living in, and it's going to take a balanced diet. There's going to have to be, number one, I believe there's going to have to be a desire for growth. We wonder sometimes about people that come to church and it seems like they never get a clue. They listen to preaching. They don't never read the Bible themselves. Some of them may be saved. I'm not saying that they're all lost. I'm saying there's got to be a time comes in your life, hey, that you're going to have a desire if you're going to grow. Just as sure as when 93, when God began to work in my life and I began to wonder and want to know what I believed about the Word of God and about the things of God. And I've said that a lot of times. I don't believe in the second work of grace, but God did something for me in those weeks of meetings, Miss Ruby, hey, that I've never gotten away from. I think they call it the filling of the Holy Ghost. Probably. The best that I can, explanation that I can come up with. And I believe there has to be an initial feeling. I know that when we get saved, we get indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Every born-again child of God, hey, that's saved by the grace of God is indwelt the moment that we believe, hey, the Holy Ghost comes into our heart, into our life. But every believer that's indwelt by the Holy Ghost is not filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't walk in the flesh and fulfill the flesh and desires of the flesh and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to get in that Bible and let that Bible get in you and let God start changing your life and developing those things that you have read and those things that you have learned and apply them to your life. Not just be a hearer of the Word, but you're going to have to be a doer of the Word. It's going to take an initial filling somewhere, and then that word, be not drunk on wine, where it says, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I believe that word means to be continually being filled. Time after time. Day after day. You may be filled with the Spirit today and ready to charge hell with a water pistol. And tomorrow, you may get in bad shape. I don't feel saved all the time, just to be honest with you. I don't doubt that I'm saved all the time, but I don't feel saved. This old flesh, if it gets the better of you and you don't keep it under control, and you'll get in that shape. You're getting pretty bad shape pretty quick. We have to have that continual feeling, that continual desire, that continual wanting to know more about Jesus. The desire for growth. Do you, this morning, do you have a desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's sad. I watch people come to church, and sit there, and it don't seem like that they never grow. They might come to church a lot, but they don't. They're so full of the world. They're so full of making money. They're so full of this and full of that. Hey, they don't hardly have time to let God work in their life. The desire for growth. Hey, the door for growth, as I've already mentioned, is the Word of God. The Word of God this morning is our source of spiritual food. The Word of God is your source of spiritual food. I promise you, if you come in here and you listen to preaching and you go home, hey, you throw your Bible down and you never pick it up the rest of the following week, hey, you're not going to grow. 45 minutes of my preaching every week, and on Sunday morning, and 45 maybe on Sunday night, that's not all you need. Paul said over there in Romans, said, be not conformed with this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind is like a computer. All those things, those worldly, carnal things that we've developed up to the time we get saved, and then even after the time we get saved, hey, you've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and the only way you're going to do that is through the Word of God. The door for growth. You need to read your Bible every day, and I had someone here one time that I kept saying about reading the Bible, and they got up and sort of said something about, well, you know, you got to do more than read the Bible. Well, you do, but you got to read it too. And it's good to read it, and read it, and read it, and read it again. It's coming up New Year. You ought to start on January 1st. Hey, you ought to, if you've never read through your Bible, hey, you ought to purpose in your heart that you're going to read your Bible through. All you have to read is about 4 or 5 chapters a day. And if you'll take the Proverbs and if you'll start them on day 1 of January 1st and read through them, or read a chapter every day, hey, you can read through the Proverbs almost 12 times just reading a chapter a day on top of your other Bible reading. And there's a lot of good instructions in Proverbs that'll keep you out of trouble. And it'll keep people out of hell if they'll listen to it. The door for growth, the Word of God. You've got to fall in love with that Bible. You've got to read it daily. You've got to absorb it daily. And then every once in a while, you're going to run up on passages that you're going to study. Paul told Timothy, studies show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Ecclesiastes says, much study is a weariness of the flesh. That's why we don't like to do it, because study is hard work. The devil will distract you. He'll distract your mind. That's the hardest thing that I have. I'm ADD. Always have been. I'll be sitting in my study in the window, and every time a car comes by the road, I'm looking out the window. Something to get my attention off of it. The phone will ring. Something will happen. The devil don't want you studying that Bible. He don't want you getting in that Bible and that Bible getting in you. Because he knows that if you're really saved, the Holy Ghost lives in there, it's going to change you. It's going to change you. It's going to change your outlook on life. It's going to change your outlook on souls that are dying and going to hell. The desire for growth, the door for growth, it's our source of spiritual food. Again, Peter said in 2 First Peter 2:2 said, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." It's amazing to me that we have more of a desire to watch television and do other things than we do to have to read the Word of God and to study the Word of God. Matthew 4, verse 4 said, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." 1 Corinthians 3, 2, Paul said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Hebrews 5, verse 12 to 13, again, he said, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Psalms 19, verse 10 said, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16 said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." And so we see, not only is our source of food, but then it takes regular exercise if we're going to grow the way that the Lord desires for us to. Acts 24, verse 16 said, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8 said, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." So we see it takes regular exercise. We're going to have to exercise ourselves in spiritual things if we're going to grow spiritually and if we're going to be what God wants us to be. Hey, that's why we go to church. We're exercising. We're going to have to exercise toward godliness, or you won't never live a godly, separated, consecrated Christian life. It takes exercise to exercise that into your life. Then not only we see the element of growth, but then we see the evidence of growth. We see the evidence of growth. Hey, there's evidence in growth. You watch a baby. We've been watching that little fella. He's got a cleft palate right there. And his hair, I mean, I have never seen a little boy, I don't believe. I've seen some little girls that had hair like that. That little fella's got a head full of hair, and it ain't come out yet. But he's been growing, and what Debbie was mentioning the other day, how much he's grown in 3 months. I mean, he's just getting those features, you can see it growing. Just as sure as you can look in the mirror, if you start paying attention, you can see yourself aging. And I've noticed it more in the last 8 years than I ever have before. When I come down here when I was 60 years old, I tell you, I looked a little younger than I do now. I moved a little bit younger than I do now. 8 years, and I'm pretty active. I exercise a pretty good bit. I'm very mobile and exercising, riding a bicycle, hunting, and doing different things. But I'm going to tell you, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. The evidence of growth. I believe it develops discernment, number one. It develops discernment. You know why some people ain't got no discernment? They ain't got no spirituality about it. Some people think they're a whole lot more spiritual than what they are because they don't have no discernment. When you start getting close to God and you get filled with the Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you, your discernment will become sharpened. God will give you the discernment that you need to go out in this world. Some people have no discernment. They've been saved for years and years. Brother Al Gibb, they have no discernment. What's their spiritual discernment? It develops perseverance in our lives. The closer you get to God, the more you learn about God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost, hey, the more it develops perseverance in your life. The more you grow, the less apt you are to quit. The more you grow, the less apt you are to miss church on Sunday, to go do something that you want to do. And I know people miss church every once in a while. I've said that. You know, we take a vacation, we go, we miss church, huh? I go 2 weeks and go to Colorado and hunt. There's no way I could go to Colorado and hunt if I didn't take off for 2 weeks. Because it takes 3 days nearly to get there. 2 days driving straight through. But it's perseverance. But I don't get out there. I don't get out there and stay out for 2 weeks and then don't want to come back to church. God put something in my heart and He put a desire to persevere. I don't want to give out, give up, or give in. I don't want to compromise what I've learned down through the years. I'm going to persevere with what I've been taught till I get to the end of this journey, I hope. And we can by the grace of God. It means little to know the difference between truth and error if one is unable to stand for truth regardless of what comes. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Hey, perseverance is not a trait that emerges fully developed in a new Christian. Hey, that's okay, but that's to be expected. Hey, toddlers are unsteady on their feet. They fall easily and frequently. It's all part of learning to walk. But I'm going to tell you, hey, there's a built-in perseverance in a little one that's trying to learn to walk, and they fall, they get up again, and they go on. Hey, the same way with the child of God. Hey, you may mess up, you may goof up in your Christian walk, but I'm going to tell you, hey, God will put some perseverance, it'll develop some perseverance in your life, hey, that you'll get up and go on for God. I've messed up a lot of times, and I'll probably mess up again. I try not to, but I do. It develops perseverance. It develops some humility. The third mark of maturity is humility, which includes the desire to continue striving to mature. Paul describes it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. He said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." A sure sign of immaturity is the belief, hey, that I've attained maturity. Those that think they're spiritually up there with Jesus, they're above where they think they are, hey, that is not a sign of maturity in a person's life. Maturing as a believer means becoming more and more like Jesus as the days go by. The more that we begin to mature, hey, the more we'll begin to act like a Christian. James chapter 3, verse 13. He said, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with the meekness of wisdom." So we see it develops humility. But then, lastly, it develops a willingness and a readiness to build up other believers. It builds up a willingness. It develops a willingness and readiness to build up other believers. The evidence of growth in your life. Hey, when we get to that point in place where we want to see others mature, hey, when we want to see others make it as a Christian, to be that testimony, hey, that they should be in this world, we're getting pretty mature in our own life. When we see a brother fall, we want to restore that brother instead of knock him on down. I wonder this morning, are you growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? We have an edict to grow. There are elements for growth. And I believe growth will be seen in these evidences that I've given you this morning. Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, I would be checking up. You may be watching by the way of the webcast this morning. I don't know who you are this morning. Hey, but you may not be growing the way that you should. Number one, we need to check up and make sure that we've been saved. Make sure that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then we need to check up and see what's wrong in our lives. Thank God that I was brought up in Bible-believing, preaching churches. You know, it's harder to unlearn than it is to learn. It's harder to unlearn than it is to learn. Hey, there's a lot of people who've been taught a false doctrine. It's hard for them to get away from it. It's harder to unlearn those things than it is to learn the truth. If you learn the truth and you get a hold of the truth early in your life, then you won't have to be trying to get away from these things when you do get a hold of the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's ever been a time that we need to continue growth in our lives, and if you're here this morning and you're saved and you've not been growing and you know that you're saved, you've got that nailed down, you've got a place that you can go back to where the Holy Ghost convicted you, where He showed you that you were lost, He drawed you, and you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, hey, you need to get right with God and start growing. You need to get in that Bible and start reading, and you need to study and see what God wants for your life.